Chapter 42. That afternoon, Sean spent 2 hours with Aitchison. Then he returned to Candy's hotel and found Saul in the billiard room. Sean selected a cue. Saul laid both balls against the far cushion and straightened. "Well," he asked, as Sean chalked his stick, "you'll never believe it. Tell me and let me be the judge." Grinning secretly, Sean cannoned twice and then sank the red. "From sergeant without portfolio to a full-blown major and an independent command," he announced. "You? Me," Sean chuckled, and missed a cannon. "They must be crazy. Crazy or not, from now on you will stand in my presence, adopt a respectful tone of speech, and miss that shot." Saul missed. "If you're an officer and a gentleman, why don't you behave like one and keep your mouth shut when I'm making a play? You also have changed your status." "How?" "You are now a lieutenant," Sean informed him. "No, with a gong."
"A gong?"
"A medal, you fool." "I'm overcome, I'm speechless." At last Saul broke down and began to laugh. It was a sound which Sean enjoyed. "What kind of gong, and what for?" "Distinguished Conduct Medal, for the night of the train."
"But, Sean, you..."
Sean interrupted. "Yes, they gave me one also. Old Aitchison got quite carried away. He started hanging medals and promotions on everything that moved, with the same dedicated fervour as a bill-poster putting up advertisements for Bovril. He damn nearly pinned a medal on the orderly who brought in the coffee."
"He gave you coffee?"
"And a cigar," Sean answered. "He counted not the cost. It was like two lovers on an assignation. Repeatedly he addressed me as, 'My dear fellow.'" "And what is this command he gave you?" Sean racked his cue and stopped laughing. "You and I are to head one of the first counter-commandos. Small, lightly equipped units to ride in and ginger up the Boer. Harass him, wear him down, chase the guts out of his horses, and keep him moving until he runs onto one of the big columns." The following morning they rode out with Major Peterson to inspect the band of volunteers he had assembled for them. "A mixed bag, I'm afraid, Courtney. We've scratched together 315. Peterson was gloating a little behind the apology. He had not forgotten that poppycock. "It must have been difficult," Sean agreed. "You only had 250,000 to choose from. What about officers?" "Sorry, only freedmen here. But I've got you an absolute gem. Sergeant Major, snaffled him from the Dorsets. A fellow by the name of Eccles. First class, absolutely first class. And Tim Curtis, the one I asked for." "Sorry again, they reopened the gold mines. All engineers are being pulled out and sent back to work." "Damn it, I wanted him. And what about machine guns?" "Four Maxims, bloody lucky to get them." "And horses?" "Bit of a struggle, but you can go down to remount and take your pick." Sean went on relentlessly with his demands and questions during the ride out towards Randfontein. His excitement for the challenge of this venture rose steadily as they argued and talked. At last he was taking it seriously. He asked the final and crucial question as they trotted past the sentries into the great army camp on the outskirts of Johannesburg. "Has Aitchison decided in which area I'll be operating?"
"Yes," Peterson dropped his voice. "Southeast Transvaal."
"That's where Leroux is."
"That's right. The gentleman who met your train the other day."
Jan Polis again.
"Here you are, Courtney."
A little apart from the main camp stood three lines of white canvas tents. A field kitchen smoked at the far end, and around it were clustered Sean's warriors. "My God, Peterson, you said a mixed bag. You've robbed the army of cooks and batmen. And what are those? Sailors, bejesus!" Peterson smiled thinly and shifted in the saddle. "A press gang, them," he admitted. "A gunnery detail from Repulse. Ah, here comes your sergeant major." Eccles approached in column of fours. Bull-built, black moustache, a few inches over 6 feet, and all of it held stiffly erect. Peterson introduced them, and they appraised each other.
"A right scruffy lot we have here, sir."
"Yes, we've got a bit of work to do, Eccles."
"That we have, sir."
"Well, let's get started, then." And they glowered at each other in mutual respect and liking. A week later, they were ready to go. Saul had named them Courtney's Fighting Scouts. They were all well-mounted, although there were some interesting styles of horsemanship evident, especially among the delegates from the Royal Navy. By bullying the quartermaster, Shaun had arrived at a standard uniform similar to that of the Imperial Light Horse. Slouch hats, khaki tunics and riding breeches, bandoliers, puttees and issue boots. They had 40 fat and healthy pack mules, 4 Maxim machine guns, and Eccles had trained teams to serve them. Aitchison had approved Shaun's request to use Charlestown as a base. He had arranged rail transport south to this tiny village near the Natal border, promised support from the big flying columns in the area, and informed Shaun that he was expecting big things from him. He made it sound like a threat.